Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us for another of the most scintillating hours in finance radio. And we got another great show planned for you today. I'm not going to lie to you, though. The thing that I am the most excited about was a conversation I had with a friend of the show. Had him on a couple times, Harris Cuppy. This might only be the second. I think we've had him on two times prior to that. Anyway, very sharp guy, very what I would refer to as a deep value investor, and does a lot of great fundamental research. And he's kind of I don't know many guys, not many out there anymore that trades straight value the way he does. He really doesn't pay much attention to the technicals. But anyway, it's a fascinating conversation, and that's going to be a deep dive segment. And I'll give you guys the same caveats I gave the people in the 3-minute open on 770 AM up here in Seattle, which was we always keep the show clean. We had one cuss word, one swear word in the interview in the deep dive segment. So just be careful. I just don't want anybody to turn that on in front of a kid and hear inappropriate words said. And usually everybody doesn't swear when they come on the show, because usually they're on the radio. But in the deep dive segment, they know it's not going to be on the radio. And I kind of want to get them into a place where they let their guard down, where they give us the straight story. And if a swear word comes out, then that's, it's the price to pay, or the price to play, rather. So, but anyway, just want to give you guys a heads up with that. But it's fascinating because he's a very smart guy. And it does some great research, has a great newsletter that he puts out. And, I think he's got some really valuable insights, and he was right alongside me pounding the table on energy and value coming into this year. And, and I got a couple of my ideas from, I obviously was pounding the table on value and energy going into this year as well. But, I got a couple of the ideas. The way we express that, I got from him, from his newsletter. And so I can't, as a source, and I think you should have multiple sources, multiple people you listen to, multiple places that you go, people, newsletter, all the broader your source information. It's like fishing, right? The larger your net, the more fish you're going to catch, bottom line. And I think Harris's research, Cuppy's research is a great piece of a net. And, very smart guy. So anyway, also have a lot of things going on in the market. Quite honestly, today is one of those days where it's a crap market. It's a crap tape. It's nonsense. And you got stuff shuffling around. Today is not of note. What is interesting to me today, what today looks like to me actually is, now we'll know next week. I just feel like it just seems like you can see it in the volumes. You can see it in the trades. You see it like a stock like Tesla today popping like 2.5% or whatever because Musk comes out. His stock's right at an inflection point. And isn't it amazing that that's the day he comes out with an announcement saying, oh, chips aren't going to be a problem. They are for every other auto manufacturer in the world, but not for us because I'm Musk. Just cracks me up how much control that guy has over his stock and how those investors just do whatever he tells them. Anyway, but you look like you're getting another breakout in rates here. The 10-year, the rate on the 10-year got up to, what are we at, like 1.46 today. Pretty nice little pop. And I think it's warranted. You've got companies like Nike, Costco reporting earnings, and they're telling you, look for more inflation. I thought Costco turned in a nice quarter today. Really surprised by the pop in its price. I love Costco. Okay, I love it. And this is not a recommendation to buy it, to sell it, anything. I just can't touch it at this level. It's insane. A retailer trading at that multiple, it's just nuts. At the same time, we sold it right around 400. Yeah, I wish I'd have kept it. But you just get to a point where I'm like, I just cannot pay 45 times earnings for a retailer. It's a great retailer. And here's why I don't like it right here at these prices. Look, retailers do not pass off all of the, all of the problems or all of the issues created by inflation. I just think inflation is going to be a problem for companies like Costco. For that matter, I think it's going to be a problem for a company like Nike. It doesn't mean you should go out and sell those stocks. Doesn't mean you should go buy them. I just look around at the world and I see, nothing. Costco is an incredible company. That's why it was so hard to sell it. But I mean, you were selling it at a valuation the thing hasn't been at in 20 years or something like that. I mean, it just kind of the setup of Costco. Now, the companies could not be different. I just don't know if there is a there's a couple issues surrounding the again, keeping politics out of finance. There's a couple issues surrounding the vaccine that have irked me a little bit in COVID with Costco. But in terms of a company that treats its customers the right way, treats its employees the right way, I just love the company. I love everything about them. And maybe we'll look back on that 5 years from now, and that'll be a mistake to sell it here. I look around the world at these other companies that are good businesses, maybe not as good of a business as Costco, but just selling it ridiculously cheap. Again, it's just the gap between valuations is just insane. It doesn't on a spreadsheet basis. If we're looking at this thing like numbers, right? If we're looking at it like it, you just look at companies and you compare them side by side, and you're like, look, this company looks a little better over here. It's better run, better core. Like I'll give you that, but this company isn't far behind. And then you look at the valuation, and you could put it's a football field between the two. And that's why I'm having a tough time with some of those holdings. And what I was going to say is that in the stock setup of it, not the corporate setup, the stock setup, Costco just feels a lot like Boeing to me here. Meaning, everything good is priced in. I suppose you could get they've got some cash building up on Costco. Maybe they issue a special dividend, but again, at this price, at the price on the stock, that'd have to be priced in here. The other thing is, with all the uncertainty out there in the world, they might be real hesitant to issue that special dividend because they might want to keep an extra big cash cushion. You know, who knows? Again, not a recommendation one way or the other, but valuations do matter, guys. And it just feels to me, watching the volumes today, watching the Teslas, and other stocks in that category, and then watching this pop in rates, it just feel like there's a possibility we're sitting right on top of an air pocket. And that's pure speculation on my part, but based on where markets are at, if you're sitting there looking at where to put money to work, you're right underneath an all-time high on the S&P. I'd wait to see if you break out. Generally, we're not going to be putting any real money to work here. We've got some nice cash built on the sidelines. We deployed a little bit of it this week. Take advantage of some of those things that got hit. I still don't think having some cash on the sidelines is a bad idea right now. And like I said, especially when you're so close to an all-time high, right? If the S&P is going to 5,000, it's got to stay above 4,500, right? And you're at 4,450 or something like that. So when I look at a situation like this, I go, look, if we can get above that all-time high and we can hang in there, maybe we'll put some more capital to work. But I would just be conscious of those levels right here. And with rates going up, I would also be cautious of those high-flying with high valuations. If rates continue to move up, you should see these high-flying names get pounded. Now, I think that that's highly likely. If rates move up, you're going to see a lot of those those high-flying names get pounded. And they should. That makes sense economically. And I alluded to this in my interview that we do with Cuppy today on the deep dive segment, that the one thing that gives me pause about that is this is not a market that's driven by economic fundamentals. So we want to be careful, right, applying that. But my suspicion is that I think it looks to me like rates, the rate on the 10-year wants to go back up and try that level that it set, that 1.77, I think, was the absolute peak on it. I just can't see it doing that without those high-flying valuation style, those high flyers, the Teslas, the Shopifys, the Twilios, all that kind of. I would think they'd get pounded. Interestingly enough, I would also think the inverse would be true, that the value and the commodity stuff would really start to rally. What's weird about today is that you've got that good pop on the 10-year, and I'm sitting here looking at, well, it's kind of pulled back. Okay, so we had a bigger gap. But, you know, earlier, just a few minutes ago, I think you had the Dow up almost 100 points, which would be like 0.3%, 0.4%. And the Russell 2000 was down 0.25%. It looks like a one-day aberration. And the reason I say that, guys, is just because if you look at the S&P 500, mainly the NASDAQ, right, it's filled with a lot, you know, what's driving those indexes is a lot of the same stocks, right? The growth stocks, the tech stocks, the high flyers. So by default, a lot of the value names, commodity names, things like that have drifted down into the Russell 2000, right? Because they're not the popular stocks. And so the Russell 2000 is not a value index at all. But it's kind of almost turned into a proxy. And I'm not saying there aren't overvalued stocks in the Russell 2000. I'm just saying in general, if I see a day where rates rise significantly like they did today, I would expect to see the Russell outperform the S&P and the NASDAQ. It's not today. So again, it goes to my point of, you know, we absolutely need to pay attention to reality. We need to pay attention to balance sheets and fundamentals because in the end, they will always win out. And it'll be true this time. We just need to be cautious of playing it too rationally because this isn't a rational market. It's just not. And I say that, I invariably tick some people off, which I've never really understood. But, I mean, just go look at the debt levels and the valuations and the underlying economy. It doesn't make sense. You have to know that. That being said, I'm like a broken record. But when governments are printing this much cash, the money just has to go somewhere. And, you know, I'm not talking my own book, but this is why, you know, and again, I say this all the time, too, but this is why we rely on a risk management basis. You're in a market that does not behave, you know, accordingly to what a rational human being would expect based on underlying economic issues. And so it's just really important that you manage your risk. And I don't really know any other way to say it. There is no, you know. And you don't have to be a value investor to manage your risk. You can do it on a technical basis. That's what our momentum algorithm does. I will tell you, though, the thing that blows me away, and I know this isn't exactly market update stuff. It just blows me away that people will sit in mutual fund and ETF portfolios that have no downside protection in a market that they know is historically expensive. And based on the valuation levels of the market, it would suggest historically that the returns are going to be really bad over the next 10 years. And that's not an opinion. That's just a data point. When valuation, I mean, just think about it, right? The more expensive a stock is, the less you're going to make. I mean, it's right. It's irrefutable. Well, same is true as in the overall market. The more expensive the market gets, the worse the returns are over the next 10 years. And you're looking at the all-timer here. Now, does that mean you sell everything? No, because it's an irrational environment. But this is why I go back to risk management. What should you do in that environment? You should have a portfolio that can benefit from stocks going up and has a net underneath it when the inevitable pullback happens. And when I say pullback, that's the other thing is people are running around bulletproof, guys, acting like, you know, one of my favorite lines. And again, we've talked about this before, but one of my favorite lines is, well, I went all in back in March of last year just because stocks got too cheap. No, they didn't. They were trading at an 18.5 price to earnings ratio. So that's significantly above the long-term trend line. It's about 20%, about above the long-term average, right? Price to earnings ratio got down to 9 at the bottom of the tech bubble and at the bottom of the financial crisis bubble. Now, I'm not saying it should have gone to 9 because of the monetary backdrop. There's literally no other place to go. So it makes some sense that this cycle will remain more expensive. But my whole point is saying that, you know, people act like they're bulletproof. You're not. And that's really the sad part about the whole risk management story and the average investor. It's because invariably, we see it in our calls. Literally, the worse a week is, the more calls we get on the weekend. The better the week is, the less calls we get on the weekend. Now, all of this, despite the fact that our portfolios have drastically outperformed the market. Think of how illogical that is. You've got a risk-managed approach like ours, that where our average client was down 5 to 6% in last March, and we've still drastically outperformed the market in our equity portfolios over the same period of time, you know, since then. Right? So you can get more upside with less downside at less cost. I just don't get it. I do not. Well, I've always been a mutual fund. Fine. You've always been a mutual funds. Have you ever navigated a market with 0% interest rates, the S&P trading between a 40 to 45 price to earnings ratio, U.S. debt to GDP 150%, with the Fed Reserve spending $120 billion a month on securities? No. You haven't, because it's never existed before. And that is a form of investor insanity. And if you've got one of those portfolios, listen to me for a second. The approach you are taking, while you tell yourself and your advisor tells you it's disciplined, it is asinine. It's ridiculous. You've got a portfolio that has averaged X returns in these conditions. People are like, what do you mean? Well, there's a lot of uniform conditions over the course of the last 180 years in investing. For instance, 3% inflation. We've had periods of times where it got above that, but that's kind of the long run average, right? So if we look at the long run average of stock markets, 11% a year, 3% inflation, where's inflation at now? Double that? Right? So which should eat into stock market returns? Corporate debt levels at records we've never seen. U.S. government debt levels at records we've never seen. Literally every asset class virtually on the face of the earth at record highs. Record high valuations in stock markets. Look, guys, I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what's going to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. What I can tell you is to expect average returns out of your average portfolio is the most ridiculous proposition that I've heard. Now, I'm not telling you I know exactly what to expect. What I am telling you is in this extraordinary backdrop, I think it's kind of crazy to expect normal returns. And that's the other crazy thing about it is if we're wrong and you just keep levitating for the next 5 days, great. You're going to make more money in a risk managed portfolio like ours because you're not going to have the drag of bonds on your portfolio. And you got, the momentum algorithm that's picking. It just makes no sense. It'd be like somebody going, hey, I got a free car. I got a free insurance policy on your house, or I'm going to give you free life insurance. Nah, no thanks. No, you don't even have to pay for it. Now, no good. And the thing that bothers me about it, it's not about our business. I mean, shoot, our business has grown massively. And for that, I'm appreciative, especially, a lot of clients and friends that listen to the show and have become clients and friends via the show. And so I'm not sticking out my chest and but there is a real desire to help people and improve financial lives. And I sit there and look at them in these portfolios and I'm like, look, I can't tell you what's going to happen, but bottom line is you should have a portfolio that goes up a lot more when the market goes up, and it should go down a lot more when the market goes down. And we could do all that at a cheaper price. I just don't get it. And I do get it in the sense that it's human nature, right? We want to buy insurance after the fire. I get it. But, I mean, this is the rest of your financial life. And this isn't the first time I've gone on one of these rants. And perhaps that resistance on the investor side of it is just because they're not looking at all the numbers and the data that we are. But if you could really get inside of it and you really understood, you'd see how insane this is. And the thing to me that bakes my brain too is that what is the downside? Explain to me what the downside of a risk management approach is. There isn't any. On average, you should get much better results. I'll put our portfolios up against any 60-40 stock bond portfolio out there. Why? Because I know we've killed them. And it's not because we're so brilliant. It's just because if you've got the traditional stock bond portfolio, you're in a fight with Mike Tyson with one hand tied behind your back. And this is a message we've been telling you for 6 years, and it's played out the entire time. But unfortunately, and this is the thing that invigorates me to do the show every week, honestly, is to shake people out of those doldrums, to shake people out of that aspect of human beings where we react at the realization of pain instead of the anticipation of pain. And especially when it costs us nothing. If we're wrong, great. You win no matter what portfolio, and you'll just make more money with us. If we're right and things get really nasty, a risk-managed portfolio can save your retirement. It just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, I've overshot the runway. We got to go. But guys, go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Go to bulwarkcapitalmanagement.com. Sign up for the roadshow we've got coming up on the 30th at 3 p.m. It's free. We walk you through our whole process, show you the performance of the portfolios. You get everything you need. Everything you need. Or you can call us, 866-779-RISK. Just educate yourself. Maybe we're full of it, but you'll know that after a 30-minute phone, 15-minute phone consultation, whatever the case may be. And if that's too personal, that's why we do the roadshow. You don't have to talk directly to us. You can just log in, see what we do, how we do it. But when people see it and they see the returns that we've put up and they've seen how much we drop in the downturns, the light turns on. They look at me, and there's a guy I brought in here the other day, moved over a $5 million portfolio to us, and we talked to him for a while, and he finally looked at me when he was signing. He's like, "Zach, I don't really understand. Why aren't more people doing this?" And I looked at him and I said, "I don't know." And he goes, "Because after I've gone through it all, it seems like a no-brainer." And he goes, "Maybe that's a stupid used word." And I go, "Word to use." And I go, "Look, based on what we know today, it is a no-brainer. Now, is it possible we look back 5 to 7 years from now and go, oh, we could have done that better, or maybe that?" I guarantee you that'll be the case. But when you're looking at an investment, what is your upside? What is your downside? What I'm telling you is we can put you in a portfolio that has significantly more upside, which we can prove to you by past performance. Now, past performance is no guarantee of future results. But what I'm showing, it's not just you don't have to just buy into the message. Right? We got examples. We show you how the portfolio's performed. And what you'll see is you can pay less. You can get significantly more upside with way less downside. I don't know. I mean, if you want some more risk in your investments that isn't going to pay you, okay. But if not, if you think there's a better way to do it and the things worth saying, less risk, less cost, more return sounds good to you, which it should, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website. You guys know the drill. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back and get into some other interesting market action we've seen. Stick with us. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in today's economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow this Thursday, right after my show at 3. Zach, I'm excited to be there.
Dory, we've taken Bulwark's entire investment and retirement planning process, the same one you and Suzanne went through, and we've condensed it down into a 30-minute class. We'll answer all the big questions. Do you need estate planning? Long-term care? When should you take Social Security? How much money do you need to retire? And we're also going to show everyone who attends how to protect their portfolio against loss while still growing their assets.
Join me at the Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow with Zach Abraham this Thursday, right after my show at 3. Sign up now at knowyourriskradio.com. You'll get a free copy of Zach's booklet, Common Sense Investing. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Reserve your spot now at knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us and sticking with us through the break. Anyway, this segment is going to be a little bit off the cuff. This is going to be one of those segments where you guys are going to be like a therapist for a money manager. And I'm and guess who's playing that role? I like to do this sometimes to flesh things out. We were talking about the radio show the other day, and I was saying that there's real value to it for me on the investment side, because you really got to gather your thoughts from the entire week. And you got to summarize them, and it requires you to do it once a week. And I can't really put it into words, but it's just, it's made me better. And part of it is talking things through. I tend to be kind of more of a hands-on learner, certainly a verbal thinker and a verbal processor. And so going through those things linguistically, talking about them on the show, explaining them to you guys, it has a lot of efficacy for me as well. It's got a lot of help, a lot of assistance, brings a lot of clarity. And I think part of it is just, if you have to take things that you've observed and watched over a period of time and distill them down into a way that makes sense to somebody else, that's a process, right? You got to dig through it. And one of the things I spend a lot of time thinking about, and I think it really is a key to this market, is whether or not you see the return of real economic forces. Now, when I say that, obviously economic forces always play a role in a market. But this is a market that has been dominated by central bank activity and government dictate and all that other kind of stuff, more so than in any other time in history, save for maybe a couple small areas, you know, small spots here and there, you know, some one-off type things or short periods of time. But without question, you know, for instance, you've never seen a period of time of such high. Now, again, you've got the low interest rates as part of the thing and part of the factor and part of the equation. I'm not saying that they don't play a role and they don't justify somewhat higher valuations. They do. At the same time, you've just never seen a period of time where you've had such unbelievable stock market gains, U.S. household record wealth now at a record high. And yet it's a reversal, right? It's kind of a reversal of, you know, what we've seen, where the price and the level and the amount of wealth, that all looks so good, but the underlying is so bad. And one of the things I spend a lot of time thinking about is, when will that change? And if you were looking for an answer, I don't have one. But the one thing that I've always thought would change it for sure would be inflation. Because inflation changes all the calculus. When you don't have inflation, these central banks can print forever. Right. If you're printing mountains of money and your currency isn't suffering as a result, you could make the argument that's sort of that's kind of the market giving you the green light. Right. Companies work that way. Right. Look at Boeing. Remember, they're tacking on billions of dollars in new debt to finance a stock buyback. That was part of the bull thesis until it wasn't. Right. And then you look what happened to their balance sheet, right? Went from $20 billion pre-COVID to now $65 billion post, $70 billion, something like that. Hey, Boeing's another great example. I sat there and listened to and I'm processing this. I'm not making calls, and I don't want you guys to think that I'm calling anybody else out. I'm telling you the things that I wrestle with. It wasn't very long ago that Boeing looked like it was breaking out, hit like 265. Even I thought, shoot, that chart looks bullish. I don't like the company at all, but man, it looks like it's going to go higher and get smacked back down to 210, 220 is where it's currently trading, right in that range. But all the bullishness around Boeing, Jim Cramer's world, this is my favorite reopening stock, and all these people. And I just remember people that aren't stupid, right? I disagree with Jim a lot. Jim's not a dumb guy. right? Jim, you know, he knows what he's doing. I might disagree with a lot of his takes, but I've learned that lesson the hard way, right? If you want to, if you think that people are stupid because they disagree with you, hold on to your shorts. That's cost me a lot of money. You know, just assuming that somebody on the other side of the trade from you is dumb. It's just not a very good approach to take. Not a very smart approach to take, certainly. But that Boeing one was a perfect example for me. These people making the bull case for Boeing, and I'm sitting there going, have you read the financials, man? Right? And if you did, what you saw was, if your bull case in Boeing was, okay, they're going to come back. I agree. They're not going anywhere. Okay, so your bull case is that you think they can get back to $440 a share previous. Well, yeah, because real estate or airline industry is going to bounce back. Okay, so let's put some pen to paper here. Let's say 2 years from now we have a full recovery. Let's say we have new record highs in the airline industry, which I think is highly unlikely because of lingering COVID effects and things of that nature. But it's possible. You can't say it's not in the realm of possibility. So let's use 2018 as a marker, as an example, if you will. That was Boeing's highest revenue year, highest profitability year. I think they did $102 billion in revenue, did something like $10.7 billion, $10.8 billion in profit. Okay, so if your bull thesis is that they get back to that level of performance, their best ever, then what you need to do is you need to factor in the increased debt servicing costs, right? Because they tacked on, their debt tripled through COVID, tripled, went from $20 billion to $65-70 billion. I think is where we're at today. I could be $5 billion off here or there, but we should be right around those levels. I haven't looked at them for a while just because I haven't seen any point. But when you just did the math, you went, okay, well, so if they get back to the best year they've ever had in history, when you factor in the increased debt expense, right, the servicing costs from the increased debt they took on, you got to cut their earnings by 30-35%. And it was at a 30-plus PE at the high. So the only way you think it gets back to that 400 level is things trading at like a 50 PE. Boeing. And the reason I bring that up is not to bash on Boeing. I love the people at Boeing. I swear to you, probably about 1/5 of our investor base is Boeing or ex-Boeing people. My issue has always been with senior management. Just to make that clear, I don't want to take any Boeing people off. I love what you do. I think you make the best airplanes in the world. This isn't about you. This is about the people running it that I think are sticking it to all of you. But that's another conversation altogether. My point is that we've, you know, and it's been this way for a while, but it's like we're in this vacuum where reality just doesn't matter. And when I say that, people are going to laugh, be like, yeah, well, welcome to the show, pal. But no, it's just odd, you know, where you look at something that is so obvious, right? A company like Boeing's debt more than triples over the course of a 16-month period of time. And you don't think that that's going to have knock-on effects? You don't think that that's going to be an issue? Right? Because they got to do one of two things. They got to pay that debt down aggressively over time, which obviously is going to be costly and hurt the bottom line. Remember, $65 billion, their most profitable year ever was 10.7. You know, so essentially you've got 10 years of the most profitable year in history to pay down your stack of debt. Or not 10, rather, sorry, 6. Where you take 100% of that profit at your most profitable level in history. Or you got to sell stock, neither of which are good for the price of the stock. But I use that as a microcosm for the rest of the market because, you know, there's so many other stocks you can throw in there. And it's become like a popularity contest. And then obviously you see that echoed over in the political world. Again, not to try to get political, but I was just scratching my head the other day when the headline came out about the people on the border and Border Patrol agents were whipping illegal immigrants. Can you say that anymore, illegal immigrants? Because I don't mean it in a nasty way. Who cares? Whatever. They'll get me for something. But then you look and they're doing the thing with their horse. You know, I'm not a cowboy, but I got ranching in the family and grew up, you know, not on farms, but around them frequently, and, you know how to ride a horse, that kind of thing. But they're doing that little whip thing you do with your reins, you know, to get the horse's rear end to turn around or back up again, if I'm butchering this. My whole point is anybody that's ever been around a horse knew what they were. You can't whip people with your reins. That's not what they were doing there. And they go, oh, this is racist. This is slavery. This is all this stuff. And you just sit there and go, look, I don't want to get into a political conversation, but what on earth are you talking about? Any rational human being that knows anything about riding a horse would laugh at your description. And yet they come right out and they're like, this will not be tolerated. And you're like, whoa, slow down. Okay, first of all, make sure you know what actually happened. If you watch the video and you know anything about horses, you'll know that this is not at all what took place. So before you excoriate these men that are doing the job you hired them to do with the horses that you gave them to do the job, maybe you should just figure out what the truth is before you go off half-cocked. And again, this isn't a political issue, guys. There's people on both sides of the aisle that do this. I'm looking at this as more of a cultural observation. And it's just curious to me. It's almost like we've fallen into a Bermuda Triangle of logic where it's just thrown out the window. Everything is so hyperbolic. Like I said, if you want to walk into a group of people and have no friends, tell them that you're against the vaccine mandates, but you think the vaccine is probably safe and you're probably going to take it. Now, look, I'm not advocating one or the other. I'm not telling you how to think. My biggest issue with all of this is I do not believe people should be telling us what we can and can't take. Right? Bottom line. Especially when you've essentially reached herd immunity. But I don't want to get over that. I think the vaccine, to me, and I don't want to tick off any of my clients on either side of this because you guys know my thoughts. But again, I just think that the logic has been sucked out of that argument too. For instance, is it possible that the vaccine is as safe as they say it is? Yes, it's highly possible, and I think it's somewhat likely. Does that mean I'm not sympathetic to people that go, hey, bottom line is we just don't know, and I don't want to put anything in my body that I don't know? I don't understand how that would anger you. Well, they're going to endanger the rest of us. Guys, you got between 80 to 90% of the population has had COVID or they've had the vaccine. And my record on this, I think, is pretty good. From the very beginning, we were telling you, look, this does not look like a global killer. This looks like the big risk to this is overwhelming the medical system. Go back and listen to the shows we were doing in February and March of last year. And we didn't know that because we're brilliant. We just read the data. Anyway, I don't want to get stuck on any of these issues. And if you think that vaccine mandates are good or you think the vaccine is evil, please don't call me or send mad emails because I'm all about all of you making your own choice of what's good for you and your family. I don't want to infringe on your liberties. I don't want to tell anybody how to live. It's the last thing on earth I want to do. I'm using this as a microcosm to say that the logic has been sucked out of the conversation. Another example of this. Guy that I follow on Twitter, very, very smart guy, very good analyst. That's why I follow him too. Does great work on energy stuff. And I've had great back and forth with the guy. Great guy. It's very clear. We established that we see things, the worldview a little bit differently. I'm much more on the libertarian side of things. He's much more on the liberal side of things. And I put out a tweet today where I was saying, look, and Cuppy and I talk a little bit on this deep dive interview, but I just said, looking at this, now let's all remove the hysteria from it, okay? Let's all remove all the panic and hand-wringing and all that kind of stuff and just listen to my words and assume that I'm being altruistic. Just give me that benefit of the doubt, okay? Whenever I see... Well, this started back when Biden gave a speech about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, where he got up there and was talking about, you know, the 70 million people that are compromising all of us. First of all, in general, I don't like to be excoriated or talked to by a president like that. And it wasn't awful. I just thought it was a little bit overbearing and a little bit parental. But the number was, you know, 70. Now it's 70 million unvaxxed. Okay. What percentage of those unvaxxed people have already had the virus? And guys, the data is really clear. If you've already had the virus, like really had it, like a good solid case, the vaccine does nothing for you. It just doesn't. The best defense against COVID is having COVID. Now, not for people with comorbidities. Again, I'm not making any judgments on this. I'm just, you know, just reading off the data. But I'm sitting there scratching my head going, okay, you're pushing for a vaccine mandate now because we still have 70 million unvaxxed. Well, a good chunk of those, I have no clue what the percentage is, but let's say it's 20%, 25% of those people have already had COVID. Guys, that puts you at like 85, 90% herd immunity at this point. Now, again, hear me out. I'm not talking about whether the vaccine is good or bad. What I'm looking at is the politics behind it are confusing to me. Pushing a vaccine mandate this late in the game on a political aspect looks like a very concave trade, meaning if you're a politician out there pushing the vaccine mandate, I can't imagine that's going to land you any new votes. I feel like I can safely assume it's going to lose you some. And that's why the timing of this is such a head scratcher to me. So I put out a tweet just asking that. Anybody got any political insight? What am I not seeing here? Because this just seems like a very non-normal political move to make. Unless, now Cuppy brought up something that made sense to me, unless they're seeing data that the vaccine isn't nearly as efficacious as they originally thought, or that it wears off a lot quicker than they thought. Now, again, these are things that you typically learn through a new trial, right? Through a normal trial process, because time is an essential part of FDA trials. But again, I don't want to get into the, I'm not an immunologist. I'm the one guy on Twitter that's not an epidemiologist, apparently. But my whole point getting back to it is this logic vacuum where it's so hard for things to make sense. And getting back to the conversation I was talking about, the guy that we follow each other on Twitter, he responded to this and he went off on an anti-vaxxing rant. Like, all you anti-vaxxers. And I responded to him. I go, man, you're not listening to me. Read the question. Do me the honor of assuming that there is not some pregnant aspect to that comment, and it's not some Trojan horse to get you to admit to some anti-vaccine, you know, sentiment or something. This is an honest question from a political angle. Why would anybody be pushing this at this point? Now, if you were pushing a vaccine mandate when it first got released, that would make more sense to me. I'm still not in favor of mandates. I'm not. Especially on a vaccine like this that is, you know, that there's so little known and there's been so little time. And don't give me the whole, oh, it's FDA approved. Yes, it's got EUA, guys, emergency use authorization. But EUA, that type of approval is meant to usurp and go around the traditional trial process. So yes, it's FDA approved, but it did not go through the three stages of FDA trials the way they are typically gone through. And the way you know that is there isn't enough time. Time is a major element. That should not be a controversial statement. That should be something that we all know. That also doesn't mean that the vaccine isn't good, right? Not saying that either. My point is talking about the culture and how I kept going back to this guy several times going, listen, you're not listening to my point. This isn't about the vaccine or the mandate. I am looking at it from a political angle. What is going on that would make these politicians think that this is a good move politically? Because I don't believe most politicians get a cup of coffee unless they think it's going to help their reelection campaign. So I was really trying to glean, but my point is it's gotten so polarized and so hyperbolic that you can't even have a conversation like that without somebody thinking you're pushing something, right? That you have an agenda, that you got an angle, or that you're trying to trick them through semantics to agree with you or something like. Anyway, and I responded back to him. I was like, man, this is like a circular firing squad. We're just... You know, you don't want the vaccine mandate. You're horrible and you deserve to die. Oh, you want to give me the vaccine? You're horrible. It's like, God, when things are like that, you can't make any sense out of anything. And it's just crazy to me. It's not crazy to me. It's one of the reasons I love markets, because that same level of just chaos, right? And no logic and just, you know, things floating in zero gravity. You see it echoed, right? It's evident in our society today in every area, markets included. It's always fascinating to me how that works, right? The markets never, they never divorce themselves from what's happening culturally. And often they're a reflector of what's happening culturally, or the culture is a reflector of reflective of what's happening in markets. But that interrelationship is always something that has really fascinated me with it. But back to as it relates to markets, you know, these are the things that I spend a lot of time thinking about. And the reason I spend a lot of time thinking about these things is simply due to the fact that, you know, A, it's got a lot to do with what I do for a job. But B, if this environment continues to last like this as it's related to stocks, you've got to build that into your process, right? And this is one of the reasons that we launched the Momentum algorithm. Because what it did is it picked up on those hot stocks, the ones that were running, and it allowed us to carry those stocks while having stop losses underneath them at all times that were constantly being managed and adjusted. And one of the reasons we did that is because you don't have any. First of all, I think it's a great portfolio, and I think it will work in any environment. Second of all, I just think it is perfectly suited for this environment. Right? Perfectly suited. Because there's no fear, there's no angst, there's no hesitation. We're just watching prices. You go up, we'll keep you. You go down, you're gone. That thing is up 101% since it was launched in May of 2019. It was down 11% last March. Again, guys, compare it to your portfolio. I'll almost guarantee you none of you have one out there that's come close. Risk management works. I am not promising you better than S&P returns every year. Not saying that. Nobody can. If they do, walk the other. It's nonsense. But you've got to be aware of the environment you're in, and you have to know what the duration of that environment, right? How long that's going to persist? How long those conditions are going to be around? Because it's going to have a big impact on your life. It's going to have a big impact on your job if you're managing money. And you have to have a portfolio that is adjusting to those changing environments. Now more so than ever, because environments change so fast. If you haven't learned that over the last 2 years, I can't help you. But the reason that's so clear, or the reason that's so important right now, is because, and I could be wrong, but the way I see this playing out is that an event or something happens where all of a sudden economic reality comes back in a big time hurry. Right? Kind of like last March. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have another shutdown. You know, I'm not saying any of that. But at some point, logic will come cascading back into the picture. And the average investor probably will not have time to adjust to avoid big losses. Right, because that's a lie that everybody tells themselves. Oh, I'll know when to get out. Well, that's what everybody says. You won't. You don't have a plan. If you're sitting there listening to me and you agree that this all seems upside down, and you agree that it doesn't make any sense, and you agree that none of the inputs that have driven this economy in this country are anywhere close to the same as they've been historically, then take the next logical step that's only a few inches in front of you. It's probably ridiculous for me to have a traditional portfolio that's built on long-term averages, right? If nothing around me is average, then average is probably not the the outcome I should be expecting, right? Inputs equal outputs eventually, right? So if you're with me on that line of logic, for God's sakes, pick up the phone. Or sign up for the radio show or the virtual roadshow. Educate yourselves. We're not going to lock you into a sales process. Are we passionate about this? Yeah. Yeah. For two reasons. I see a lot of portfolios out there not generating anywhere the type of returns that their clients should be getting and that need to get to protect them from the inflation that is most certainly coming our way. And again, the timing of all that, who knows? The other reason I'm passionate about it is because if that's not the way it plays out, then those same people that aren't making nearly as much as they should are going to get smoked way worse than they should. And if you want to know how you've got a portfolio like that, go look at where you were down last March. Go look at how you finished up the last year and where are you at this year. Our average total client portfolio, was down about 5.5% at the bottom last March. Market was down 36. Ended up making well over double digits. Again, what into double digits depends on your size of your portfolio and exactly how we had you positioned. But ended up with a solid double-digit return last year. And that collective portfolio is up right around as much of, as the market this year. Collectively, our stock portfolios are significantly ahead, but our bond replacements are substantially outperforming bonds, but they're not outperforming the stock market. They weren't designed to do that. My point is saying you can see the efficacy. You can see way less downside and much bigger upside. It's right there. Take the 3 minutes it takes to call and educate yourself. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Sign up for the radio show website. Coming up on the 30th, 3 p.m., we walk you through our entire planning process in 30 minutes to a 30-minute Q&A. It's free of charge. It doesn't put you into a sales process. Get the information, and you go. You want to talk to us? You give us a call. It's that simple. Anyway, we got to run. Have a great weekend. Go Hawks. Go Dogs. As always, we'll be back next week. Do not forget to listen to the deep dive interview we did with Cuppy. You can get it on the podcast website. Just Google Know Your Risk Radio Podcast and pull up the deep dive segment with Harris Cuppy. It should be right there at the top. Anyway, have a great weekend. We got to run. We'll talk to you next week. This is the Know Your Risk Radio Podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
How do you know your finances and investments right now in this economy are positioned for a successful retirement? Well, you can join me at Zach Abraham's Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow this Thursday, right after my show. Zach, now's the time for everyone to take a hard look at their investment strategy.
Dory, there could not be a more prescient time. I'll answer all the big questions on investors' minds because I can promise you if you're incorporating some of the long-running investment strategies in today's markets, like a basic 60-40 stock bond portfolio, you're taking a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement.
Learn all about Zach's retirement planning and investment strategies at his Know Your Risk Virtual Roadshow this Thursday. I'll be there too, right after my show at 3 o'clock. Space is limited for this free live webinar. Make your reservation now at knowyourriskradio.com. That's knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.